Welcome back to the Reading and Writing Podcast. My guest today is Vlad Bustuk, the founder of Nova Media Marketing. Vlad is here today to talk about how indie authors can build an audience and sell more of their books. Vlad, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me,
Jeff. Absolutely. Indie publishing has changed a lot in the past 10 years, and I wanted to ask you, do you think it's still possible for a totally unknown author to publish independently and build a large and profitable audience for their books?
So I would say definitely yes. But when it comes to building an authorship, a platform, especially in the present, I would say it's definitely much harder now than it was before, right? So in 2017, 2016, it wasn't so much competition and it was easier to establish yourself. So the authors that published themselves back then, you know, it was definitely much easier. But even still, like now, this is still possible. So we just, you know, like I work with authors and I do their marketing and I advise them on how to establish their platforms and how to grow and, you know, build a fan base. And it's definitely possible. Like I still seen, we just launched a new author this year and we're going to launch a new one. So we do have a whole plan for that. We know what works, what doesn't. And, you know, it's interesting because a lot of it has to do with, you know, pre-planning, like what you're going to write about, how you're going to get in front of those readers. And you have to think about how to appeal to them and to give you a chance because of the competition. So there's definitely do's and don'ts. But yeah, I would say it's definitely possible. And if you go about it the smart way, then, you know, because there's still a lot of authors that publish themselves and they just do whatever they feel like. And you don't want to be one of those ones, those authors. Rather, like, think of yourself as how can you establish yourself fast, and, you know, what to write about and how to attract those readers. I think that's the most important thing.
Sure. So I'm wondering, what's your background and what led you to start working with indie authors?
So I started in marketing back in 2016, and then I was looking to, actually an author reached out to me because they needed someone to do marketing for them, specifically Facebook ads. And it was a person that was already established. So I was, you know, kind of fortunate to have a lot of data on their ad account, and they had a pretty big back matter. And I had a lot of data to work with, and I'm always like oriented in terms of improvements, profit, like what would bring the most revenue and so on. So we actually started working together, and then we did the first launch. And this author was a contemporary romance author, and he was doing pretty well. Like he was breaking the top 100 on Amazon. But then we launched the next book, and I think we reached number two. I'm not sure if that was the first launch or the second launch, but those were big spenders. So this is a big spending, you know, author. Sure. And because of the success that we had, then, you know, I kind of got referred to other authors, and that's how I started, you know, working with authors. And then I just decided to stick to it because I'm pretty passionate about it. I like it. Sure. I like to understand how readers work and how to sell books, basically.
Great. Well, we'll talk about your company and what and how an author can work with you. But I did have a couple of questions for those true indie authors who are maybe launching a book and don't have a ton of money out of the gate for advertising. And given that, where you sit, and obviously I know that you are very data driven and very ads driven, but what are things that an indie author can do if they're coming out of the gate and they don't have a huge budget yet?
Right. So you don't need a lot of budget to become, you know, like to have success with it or just to do this full time. I think the most there's two important things I would say. One is understanding the genre that you're writing in. Like you have to understand if this is a genre where there's a lot of demand. If there is demand, then it's going to be more easy for you to sell books at larger scale. And even if you don't put marketing behind it, because there is a demand, you will sell more books. If you're writing in smaller genres and you don't really care so much about what you write and, you know, who you appeal to, then you're going to have a harder time to sell books, right? So it's really about readers, like understanding what the readers want and then giving that to them. And then also making it pretty clear what your book is about. So, because what you want to do is you want to appeal to a specific audience. And once you understand what that audience wants, then you have to make your, you know, whole book be appealing to them. From cover to title to description, all of those things, they need to be appealing to them and also be clear. And this is how you can just sell books, right? Like, you don't have to do necessarily a lot of marketing or whatever. Like, if you have these things on point, then you're going to sell books no matter what, I would say, from my experience, from what I've seen. And then the second thing that you want to do is your release schedule. So don't just think of, you know, releasing one book, release at least three or two or three, because what happens is the platforms, specifically Amazon, how it works is they have this benefit of releasing every 30 days or every 2 months. Like, consistent releases, that's a big thing. And what happens is if authors publish books on Amazon consistently, then Amazon will take that and they will push it out to new readers, because that's something that they want. They notice that the highest engaging books or series are the ones that readers come predictably over and over and read new books and read new books. And that happens by authors just releasing consistently. So if you put a book out every, you know, 1 month for 3 months, then you will get some sort of traction and some sort of boost from Amazon. Sure. And that way, your book is going to get in front of more readers. So just to kind of simplify it in terms of the release schedule, instead of just writing a book and putting it out, write three books and then put it out, you know, once a month or once every 2 months. And usually that's way more profitable than just, you know, putting a book out once every 6 or 5 or 7 months.
Got it.
Stuff like this.
Well, I know that Amazon, in terms of like their kind of corporate facing, they tend to be a little bit of a black box for indie authors. Do you know, like, you'd mentioned these emails that push out to recommend books. Do you happen to know from your own knowledge, are those algorithmically driven, or is there someone sitting in an office somewhere or their home office at Amazon actually picking and choosing those books?
Yeah, so it's definitely, I think, for sure, it's an algorithm. So, because there's too many books for someone just to go sure. through every one of them. But they have, imagine if it's like a score, right? So everything, every metric contributes to this algorithm. So if people come in and they finish the book, right? Like, just like watching a video. If someone watches a video on YouTube, then that adds up to the algorithm, and then the video gets more traction. The same way a book has an algorithm. So if someone comes in and reads the whole book, then that's, you know, a plus for the algorithm. If someone comes in and they start reading, but they kind of forget about it and never start, you know, reading, then never end reading the book, then that's going to be a minus. The same way if, you know, every book has a click-through. So if someone types in, you know, mystery, thriller, and suspense, and your book pops up on the first page, every of those books, they're basically competing for that click, for that person to actually click on the book. So whoever gets the most clicks, then the algorithm says, okay, well, this seems to be very appealing for those people, and they're going to keep pushing those books. So if someone, next time someone types in, you know, mystery, thriller, and suspense, they're going to make sure that this book with the highest click through rate is going to be put on the front. And then, you know, you're also talking about conversion rates, so people that land on the page and then end up buying the book. Also people that leave reviews. So if a book has a lot of reviews, or people come back and leave, you know, high reviews, that also contributes to the algorithm as well. So all of those things combined, you know, this is kind of your score for the algorithm. And the books that are the highest in ranks, and, you know, they're being pushed through this whole Amazon readers and in those emails, are from, because they have those good numbers. And another thing that happens is if I go on Amazon and I keep checking a book and I keep checking a book, but I don't buy it, Amazon will always, because Amazon sees I'm checking this book, they will then send me an email. It's like, hey, we've seen you checking this book, and so on. So this is where ads come into play, right? Because even if I run an ad on Facebook and then, you know, they even don't buy it, but they checked it out because they clicked on my ad. Because they've been on that page so many times, Amazon then will start, you know, showing this book or this author's book in their email a lot. So that's another thing, that how you can basically impact the algorithm and get it on your site.
Well, you talked about this kind of algorithm per book, this kind of like score, so to speak.
Yeah.
If if people click and all the other metrics. excuse me, again, if an author is just kind of starting out of the gate and doesn't have a ton of dollars to put behind advertising, what are the key things that they could do to influence that click-through rate? I'm assuming that would be cover and description.
Yeah, so I would say cover is the most important one. We even did a survey and we asked them, it's like, hey, what's, I think it was around 600 readers that responded to this quiz. And we asked them, it's like, what's the number one thing that determines you to buy a book? And I think 60% of them answered that it's the description. So then we went ahead and we played the description, tried to improve it as well. But then what happened is, so the description was the first, the book cover was the second. And we played with all of them, but then every time we changed the cover and we improved it, that was the biggest impact, right? So even though readers do say that it's the description, it turns out that in real life, like testing with this, I think we tested this like 6 or 7 times, mm-hmm. We always found that we get the most improvements from changing a book cover. And the way you want to improve it and the way we improve it is by... Because first, you have to understand what you're doing as an author. Like when you're a new author, you're basically trying to penetrate a market. And you want readers that already read a lot of books to take you in consideration. And the way you do that is by, first of all, the cover, you have to position it very similarly to the best-selling books that are similar to you. And not, yeah, so like the biggest players, like that's who you're basically trying to model. Because those readers seen those book covers so many times and they're so familiar with them that if they see something different, they're probably not going to take, it's like, it's less probable that they're going to take you into consideration. But if they see something that's similar to what they're already reading and they love reading, then they will give you a chance, like just to, you know, to get the foot in the door. So things from, you know, having similar fonts, similar color tones, similar concepts, all those things, they really help when you position yourself, like how you look compared to what they read. So then they associate you with other best-selling books, and then you have a higher chance of selling. And then when it comes to the book description, you know, having it clear, like not being too complex or too complicated, making it clear what it is about. So if it's an FBI mystery thriller, then make it clear that it's an FBI mystery thriller. And then also mentioning other authors or series in the description. So say like, if you love this type of series or this series, you will love this. Because what you're doing is you're just assisting readers to take a decision. And you want to make it as simple as possible for them. You're basically just helping them, you know, make a decision. Because if it's too different or too unfamiliar or too, you know, like they're not going to know where to put you. Like, what sort of book is this? Like, is it similar? Should I, you know, so you're just basically helping them make a decision and penetrating, you know, you're trying to penetrate the market.
Got it. Well, I know that earlier, and I just want to circle back to something you said. You talked about figuring out kind of the popular genres, the popular types of books that people are interested in. How do you recommend an author do that? Is it just literally looking through the bestseller list, or are there software tools out there that you use that possibly scrape Amazon data? What's your thought about that?
So one thing that I do recommend to authors, especially the ones that are starting out and they're serious about, you know, like actually selling books and understanding a genre, is Klytics. So, and it's the guy, Alex Newton. Like, he has really amazing data on this and he does a great job at simplifying it. So what it does is, like, basically he shows you, like, which genre is in high demand or low demand. And then what an author wants to do is basically like find something that they're really passionate about writing, first of all. Like, they need to enjoy writing this and or be good at it. And then write in something that is on the higher demand. Because if it's high demand, then it's easier to sell. So find something that's, you know, higher demand and then you enjoy writing. And then also on Klytics, they have all this data and it tells you exactly like, contemporary romance novels, the top, you know, 20 average ranks is 100, right? So the better the rank, the more demand, the easier it is to sell books. And if it's too low, then you're just going to have a hard time selling the book because there's not a big audience and so on. And then what Klytics does, they also have a genre report where they explain the genre, like what the genre is about, what people really enjoy reading in those books. And they also break down the covers in the, you know, in this genre. And they show you very simplified data where they say, you know, so for, I think, urban fantasy was, you know, 50% of the covers that sell the most have symbols on them. You know, 30% have a character on them. So they just give you, right? Because a lot of authors, right, they don't know, like, how should I design my cover? Like, what is, should it have? And they also give us like 30% have the color red, and then, you know, 80% or like 70% that have the color blue. And then you want to do what sells the most. Like those, that's what you basically want to do. You don't want to get, you know, too unique, but you basically want to understand what people buy the most, and then create something that people already buy the most. And obviously, you know, come with your own input, and but try to respect what readers want in that genre. Sure. I think that's the most important aspect.
Well, if an author has the money to spend on advertising, how would they work with your company, Nova Media Marketing?
Right. So we don't take so many clients per year. We typically just work with authors that have a big back matter, and they write in those high demand genres. So contemporary romance, mystery, thriller, suspense, paranormal romance, like those types. So usually we specialize in bigger authors, mm-hmm, and also authors that continuously release, because we've seen that this is something that really helps everything. So even the marketing, you know, doing marketing on an author that doesn't really put books out, it's going to be harder than an author that also keeps releasing. Because then the Amazon algorithm is going to give them, you know, a push. But just to kind of answer the question, so we do work with those type of authors. We can't really help the smaller ones at this point. We're actually working on developing a course and a coaching program that would get them from, you know, like smaller levels up to six figures per month, five figures and then six figures per month. So that's going to be something that's going to be upcoming. But if someone wants to apply to work with us, they can go to novamediamarketing.net and then just go and work with us. And then there's a form that they need to fill in, and we're going to get back to them as soon as possible.
That's great. Well, I know that you're very data-driven, and I completely understand that you don't want to give away everything that you know, you're seeing. I mean, there are multiple channels for paid advertising: Amazon ads, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, BookBub, Pinterest, Goodreads. What are you seeing in terms of, you know, where you would spend the money? Because I know that, you know, broader advertising trends with Facebook and Instagram, because of iPhone's changes in privacy, that it really impacted Facebook's advertising model. What are you seeing as a way to really juice numbers and downloads and get people interested in, from a paid advertising perspective?
Definitely. So still, I would say Facebook is the number one source of traffic and the one that is the most scalable and brings the most readers. Now, obviously, this depends if we're talking about fiction or nonfiction. If we're talking about fiction, then Facebook, definitely that's going to be the one. It's a bit harder to crack, especially in the present. So for beginning authors, probably Amazon is a bit easier to figure out, but in the long term, it's not as scalable as Facebook. So on Facebook, you know, we can spend $70,000 per month on a client and only $10,000 on Amazon, right? So that's kind of the difference that there is. So if as much as we tried with Amazon, like, we can't really get it to scale at the same amount as Facebook. And then there's also like BookBub ads and other ones. But I think the number one essential traffic source that authors should figure out is Facebook, because, I mean, you can make a lot of money just with Facebook, or you don't even need Amazon ads or any other platforms. You can just do it with Facebook. As soon as you crack that, then, you know, you can just scale with Facebook. So,
hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And what are you doing there? Are you targeting? Because I know that you know, there's some very granular targeting available on Facebook. Are you targeting people who and you don't have to give me specifics, but are you targeting people that you've figured out or your team has figured out are passionate readers and people who, you know, are likely to click on an ad?
So what we found that works the best still is interest of authors, right? So author names that are targetable on Facebook is most of the authors that are in a genre.
So other authors.
Yeah. So other authors or like bigger authors. So for example, mystery, you can target James Patterson, Lee Child. you know, like they still work, even though people think there's a lot of competition.
Right.
I think if your book is on point, then you will sell. If your book is not on point, then you would say Facebook doesn't work. But yeah, so authors, they tend to work really well. Even smaller ones, like they work. And what we do is we narrow them down by Kindle Unlimited eBooks or Amazon Kindle, because just to make, especially for authors that sell on Kindle Unlimited, right? But they tend to work. And one thing that I would advise all authors to do that would help them a lot is just to survey the readers that they have and ask, like send them a quiz and say, hey, what's your favorite authors? And they will give you, you know, like they will give you the answers. And you will come, you will learn that there's authors that you can target that they just tell you, like, this is how you can, you know, find more readers. Like, this is the readers that you're basically going after. And once you understand or like see, you know, their favorite authors is Lee Child or whatever, David Baldacci, whoever that would be, then you can just adjust also the copy or like put it in the blurb because you know they love David Baldacci. You can say, like, if you love David Baldacci, then you'll love this series. And you can put this in ads and in, you know, like your copy. You can put it in Amazon ads. But it's important to understand what those readers want and who you're actually going after.
Do you have a specific, are you driving them to the book page on Amazon? Are you offering a download to get them onto your newsletter list? What do you find? And I'm sure, again, from data, what are you finding is the most effective for additional sales?
So the most efficient is to just take the traffic straight to Amazon's page.
If
you put a landing page in the middle, then you're going to lose around 40% of the traffic. And it doesn't matter how high the conversion would be after, but it's still, you're still going to lose a large portion of those readers, and that's going to result in less revenue. So even you have, if you have lower conversion rates, it's still better to take them straight to Amazon. What we found is the best to build an email list of actual readers and fans is at the end, and I think this is pretty common sense and people use it, is at the end, like you give them some sort of free book or free chapter or prequel to the series, and that way they will be part of your email list, and those are going to be just buyers. So this is very important because this is how you build an audience of buyers. This is what you want. So you don't want people that are interested in free books. You want to capture emails from people that purchase your book because they already purchased one. You can rely that they will go ahead and purchase another one. So that way you just don't pay, you know, extra money to keep people on an email list that would not actually buy your books.
What are your thoughts on Goodreads? I know that it was purchased and owned by Amazon. Do you see any effectiveness in Goodreads ads?
No, to be honest. I mean, and I don't see it because we don't do it. So we don't run any Goodreads ads. Yeah. So we try to stay pretty, you know, like it's very easy for an author to get sidetracked and off course. Like it's very easy because there's all these platforms and everyone's saying, do TikTok, do this, do like do all the. And what I found that you can always rely on is Facebook ads and Amazon ads, like those two things. Because the other things, there's still like a learning curve to them and you're going to put in a lot of effort and they're not actually going to give you so much back. And even, you know, we have clients that do $250,000 to $300,000 per month. We don't do any BookBub ads. We don't do any, you know, Goodreads ads. Because we know, like, there's only so little we can get out of that compared to what we can get from Facebook and Amazon. And there's more, we can get more out of Facebook and Amazon if we actually focus all the efforts there than just to kind of dispersing our attention and, you know, like giving attention to all those other small platforms.
Got it.
But yeah, those two. And another thing that I would say is probably TikTok organic. That's a big thing for authors that have a younger audience. Like that's something that works really well. So that's definitely something that you would like to get into and try to understand and get on, because I mean, it's still easy, fairly easy to get traction there. And there's definitely a lot of readers. But if you have an older audience, like say 65 plus, 55 plus, there's not so much you can get out of TikTok. So because, you know, every author has so authors should be writing, right? So they should be spending the most time writing. So they just want to focus their time on the essential things that would actually give them what they want, which is new readers. So don't do all everything. Just do a few things, which is Facebook ads and probably Amazon ads. But that would be it.
And when you say Facebook, are you including in that Instagram? When you buy a Facebook ad run, are you including Instagram or not?
Yeah, so that's included as well. I mean, what it is, because people say Facebook ads and Instagram ads. Instagram is just a placement from Facebook. So it's not really, it's like the same thing and it's automatic. So Facebook will decide if they show the ads on Instagram or not. And depending on the audience, again, if it's older, they're probably not going to be on Instagram. If it's younger, they probably will. But yeah, that includes Instagram as well.
About Facebook. And again, I mean, I understand that you have your strategies and you don't want to give everything away. If someone were listening to this, and again, they're not ready and they're not at your budget and they're an indie author, and let's say they're launching their first book and they, you know, have a couple of $1,000, if that, to spend on Facebook, are you seeing that you have to refresh the ads on a weekly, every other week basis? I mean, because I've seen some, you know, I do marketing, not necessarily for books, but for B2B companies and B2C companies. And I have noticed that, you know, with Facebook ads, that the click-through will drop after, you know, a few days. What is your thoughts on that?
So the main way we take decisions is basically based on results. So that means revenue, the revenue that we're generating on the books that we are advertising.
Yeah.
And the point that we would come in and make an adjustment to a campaign or to some ads would be when the results of the book or the revenue of the book is going to go down. What we've seen is, you know, sometimes the CPC or the clicks, the cost per clicks or the click-through rate will go down, but if the results are still the same and they're doing well, there's no reason for you to come in and make adjustments. Because we've done that and say, okay, well, the click-through rate is going down, blah, blah, blah. But then we come in and we make better ads, but then the results destabilize and they end up worse, right? So here you have to take in consideration that you're working with two algorithms. You're working with Facebook algorithm, and then you're working with the Amazon algorithm. And the Amazon is the number one. Like, that's the one that you want to please the most. Because if that one's okay, the other one, it doesn't really matter. Like, you could be running high CPC ads or whatever, ads that you would say don't convert. But the risk of you just changing a campaign and messing up the, you know, what's already established on the Amazon side, it's not worth it. So you're always, like, the result of running ads is to make money. If your book is making money, then don't go ahead and make adjustments. Because we've done that so many times, because we're always like, yeah, let's improve. But then you end up, you know, making it worse, which is what you don't want. But to answer the question, I would probably say, I mean, it really depends. But some books, like, we sometimes don't even touch the ads for 3 weeks, a month.
Got it.
As long as the book is doing well. But on some other books that are not doing so well, as soon as the revenue drops and we're not within our targets, then we change it. And that happens around, if we're not in the targets, then we do that every 3 days. So if things don't work out, every 3 days we change the ads. We advise that you don't make changes once a day, because you can set up a campaign and it can take up to 3 days to stabilize and get you the results that you want.
Gotcha.
If you do it a bit earlier than that, then you might be missing out on some data. So at least minimum is 3 days. And then ideally you make it once every 7 days if things are kind of stable and you want to improve things.
In terms of data, how are you tracking you know, I mean, I understand the Facebook tracking, but once someone gets on Amazon, how do you know from a Facebook click if that turned into a sale? Because, you know, the channels of traffic on Amazon could be organic, could be one of those Amazon emails that you mentioned, or it could be the Facebook traffic that you're sending there to determine sales. How do you tell that?
Yeah, definitely. So the way we operate is because we manage the Facebook side and the Amazon side as well. So we take in consideration all the marketing we do and we correlate it to the result. We don't really care like if it's going to be Amazon or Facebook. We just care about, let's say, you know, we spend $200 a day and we want to make $200 a day on the same book. So that's how we look at it. And then the way you track, I mean, on Amazon is pretty simple, straightforward. Like we track everything in a Google Sheet. So every, how much we spend per day, how much revenue we generate from page reads, how much revenue we generate from royalties, from Amazon ads. And then from the Facebook side, there's ways to track it. So one would be Amazon attribution links, which is a new thing. It's a beta version still. And I would say it's still a bit unreliable because we did a bunch of tests and then we took the winners and then we made improvements based on that, but that they didn't really result in actual improvement. So on paper, like in looking at the data, it was doing great, but in reality, it wasn't. So I think that because it's still beta, like I think it's not accurate at the moment. And then as soon as we stopped using the links in the ads, then we started getting better results. So I said, okay, we're just going to stay away from this at the moment. So that would be one way to test it. But what I recommend Amazon attribution, maybe use it just to test audiences, right? So take an ad and then run it to different audiences and then use Amazon attribution links to kind of determine what's kind of coming back. And then that's it. Like that's the only time you use it. And then when you run your main campaigns, run it without Amazon attribution links. At this point, it might get better, but... And then the other way of tracking, which is still not 100% reliable, is to actually have a pixel at the end of the book. So if you remember, we said that at the end of a book, there's a link where they can click and buy, not just get a free book, right? So what we do is they usually book funnel links. So on the book funnel page, when they click, they read the book, they click on the link, then they're taken to a book funnel page. And on the book funnel page, we put a pixel there where we say it's a purchase. So that just means someone bought, you know, a book. Right. And this data, you know, it will show up in the ads manager. The thing is, it's not accurate because, you know, people that read books, they read them on either a tablet or on mobile, right? So only those two instances you can actually track that purchase because on those two devices, there is Facebook and the pixel can work. But if they buy it on a you know, like on a Kindle device, then the tracking is gone basically. So you're only getting to track the people that read on tablets or iPhones or devices that have a Facebook app on them. But still, like we've noticed, it's still a good way to kind of track or like get a feel of what works and what doesn't. It's still not 100% reliable, I would say. Like there's always instances where, let's say, we say, okay, let's go based on just the data we have, you know, the purchase data. And that doesn't usually give us the best results. So it's always like you have to take into consideration what you already know, the purchase data, the cost per clicks, the lower the better, and the click through rates, the higher the better, right? So it's like kind of those three elements that you're kind of looking at. And that's kind of how you track or like decide what works the best in terms of metrics.
That's great. Well, that's all the questions that I had. I'm not sure if there was something that we didn't cover that you wanted to mention before we wrap up.
I would actually want to say something. So I read this blog post from James Patterson. I think it was published like 2 years ago. So he said, if you want to write for yourself, get a diary. If you write for your friends, get a blog. And if you want to write for others, become an author. And I think this is one of the most or the best of advice you can get as an author, because what I've heard and what I see the most talking to authors that are beginners or like looking to get established, and the ones that I even listen to on your podcast, I've noticed that a lot of people just you know, write for themselves and they just have no idea what they're going to write about and just sit down and they start writing, or whatever's going to come out, it's going to come out. That's great if what you want to do is just write a book. But if your goal is to become a best-selling author or to sell a lot of books, you really have to pay attention to what the readers want. And this is something that you have to do ongoing. Like, you cannot just do it once. You have to study the genre. You can use Kalytics. You're going to get the basic things and you're going to get you started. And then you're going to have a readership that you're going to have to quiz, ask questions, interact with them, ask them what they like about the books, understand what sort of characteristics your characters must have or ideally have, because this is what matters for them, right? Like, they want characters that they can relate with. And that's what keeps them, you know, reading those characters. You have to create a bond between the reader and the character, and that's what's going to get them going. And you have to understand those things. Like, you cannot, if you want to sell books, again, like, if you want to sell a lot of books, then you have to understand what those readers want. And it's not longer about you, but it's more about the readers. And that's what's going to make everything easier. That's what's going to make Facebook ads easier. That's what's going to make Amazon ads easier. And that's going to put you in a position where life is going to be easier as an author. And this is the, you know, even myself, like, this is the authors that I want to work with, because they understand it's about the readers. Because otherwise, it's just going to be a hard job for me as well, and then also for authors. Like, I can put double the efforts into selling a book that is bad or it's not on market compared to one that is on market. Like, if I were to be selling David Baldacci's book, like, that would be pretty easy compared to, you know, selling a book that has a bad cover, bad description, bad title, and so on. So I think it's really about understanding your readers and giving them what they want, and that should give you, like, you wouldn't even have to know Facebook ads. You just put ads, traffic, whoever they tell you to target, and that would be marketing for you. So I think that's the most important thing. And Amazon will also notice that. Like, if the books are on point, you're going to get traction. Like, everything's going to be in your favor.
That's great. Well, as you said earlier, you have kind of a limited audience of authors that you work with, but can you tell the listeners again how to find Nova Media Marketing if they would like to check out your website and possibly, later down the road, as you mentioned, you're working on a course for indie published authors. Can you give us that website again?
So they can go to novamediamarketing.net and they can apply on the website to work with us. They have to fill in a form, give us some information about their books and their past years and how it went. And what I would recommend is they also can get a free ebook, which is a case study of an author that we scaled recently from, he was making like $6,000 in profit, and we scaled him up to $17,000 in profit. So they can get that and just get the lessons and just the step-by-step process of what we did to kind of scale them. And that should be very helpful for them. And yeah, as I said, like, we're working on developing a coaching course. So authors can get like direct feedback from me, and assistance on, you know, what to implement, how to implement it. Because I've noticed, you know, like, authors, they just focus on the wrong things most of the time, because it's a lot of data and a lot of options and a lot of things, and it's hard. And on top of this, they have to do, writing as well. They have to write as well, right? So I do marketing and it's a full-time thing for me, and it's a lot of, like, I couldn't imagine myself doing marketing plus writing. Like, that would be, you know. So I know it's tough for authors, and that's why it's important to understand the essential things that they must do that would get them to where they want to be, because they don't have to do everything that's on, you know, that's available. But yeah,
that's hope great.
That answers the question.
Well, again, we've been speaking with Vlad Bustuk, the founder of Nova Media Marketing. Vlad, thanks for doing this interview.
Thank you so much for having me, Jeff.
Absolutely.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.